Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. We'll be introducing our in-studio guests in just a few moments, but as we start off, we invite you to look with us in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. Again, Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You've answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out two denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the wisdom, the guidance, the direction that comes from your word as we spend time reading and meditating on your word, and thus spend time with you one-on-one, listening to you, to your wisdom, your guidance, your counsel, teaching and guiding us to be that which you've called us to be. Lord, more and more help us to grow in our understanding of the fact that you've called every one of your children into ministry. Thank you for the truth that all of us are called into full-time ministry, and as we listen to your word and your spirit, you teach and train us to be the vessels of mercy and compassion you've called us to be. Help us to live every day with ears to hear as you speak, guide and direct us to be your hands and feet in the world that desperately needs to see what the love of Jesus looks like. Thank you for the opportunity to be just such vessels as that. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're grateful to have in studio with us two guests, but I want to start off by introducing John Riley. John is one of the announcers on the AFR network, and we're glad to have him in studio. John, good to
have
you
today. Thank you, Joseph. Thank you.
And as we start off, John, you're going to share with our listeners a little bit about two ministries that are really connected, 8 Days of Hope and Hope Reigns.
Absolutely, Joseph. Right now, I want to ask everybody to pray for all of those in Louisiana. You've been seeing it in the news with Baton Rouge and that area, inundated with flooding and rain. We've got thousands and thousands of families that are just hurting right now, and there's been great loss of life there as well. So keep them in your prayers. That would be absolutely awesome. Mm-hmm. But there's something further that we can do beyond praying, which is the most important thing that we can do, and that is just to go down there and be the hands and feet of Jesus. And that's what Hope Reigns is all about. It's a ministry that's actually on the ground. They will go and they will help families who have been hurt and devastated by this disaster. So they'll go in there and they'll gut out homes and they'll help move out their possessions, because, you know, when a flood comes in, it just makes everything really terrible in their home.
Ruins
everything. Mm. You got to, you know, take the sheetrock out and get the pictures that they can salvage. I mean, it's just a horrible thing, and I've been to a lot of disasters. So you can truly be the hands and feet of Jesus. This is a Christ-centered ministry that goes down there, and the first thing they want to do is love on these homeowners, help them, but man, then they pray with these homeowners. They just share Jesus. So if you want to be involved in that, you can just go to Hope Reigns at 8daysofhope.com. That's an email address, Hope Reigns at 8daysofhope.com, or you can give them a call, 662-255-7565. Mm-hmm. And if you forgot all that, you can just or didn't have a chance to write it down, you can go to 8daysofhope.com, 8daysofhope.com, and click on the Hope Reigns tab, and all the information is right there. But I tell you, it's a great opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Okay, so that's involvement in both eight Days of Hope and Hope Reigns as well then.
That's right, and 8 Days of Hope, of course, is a division, or Hope Reigns is a division of 8 Days of Hope, and There's another project going on this fall, October 8th through the 12th. And if you want to get involved in that, there is massive flooding in South Carolina. So we expect a couple thousand volunteers to go and literally rebuild homes for free for 8 days. It's a wonderful ministry. It's a great mission opportunity. It's family friendly. Now, in Louisiana with Hope Range, you have to be 18 years old or older because of the danger, you know, of the flooding. So, man, I just encourage you, pray and be the hands and feet of Jesus and get involved.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you know, just like you said, there's some just very devastating flooding happened in Louisiana, some in South Mississippi, and
that's right,
a few other areas as well. So before you go, John, would you just say a word of prayer?
Sure, I'd love to.
Those people that are affected.
Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord, on behalf of all these families that we're thinking of right now, Lord, affected by this flooding in Mississippi and Louisiana. And we just know that they're hurting right now. God, I pray that you would comfort them, that you would give them strength, and that, Lord, as all of these relief groups come into that area, that they would just be the hands and feet of Jesus. And I pray for the Hope Reigns volunteers, God, that as they come, that you will just give them doors of opportunity to share your love, the peace and the hope, the strength that only you can give. And so we just ask for your comfort. We ask for strength. We pray for all those in authority, the police, the fire, the state officials, U.S. government officials, all those involved in helping to take care of this major disaster there in Louisiana. Lord, we know that you're in control, and so we thank you for what you're doing, going to do, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, John, for being with us today.
Thank you.
And we're also grateful to have with us in studio Evangelist Herdecine Gorey, and she's been with us before. I'm grateful to have her with us again today. Welcome to the Hour of Intercession.
Thank you so much for inviting me again.
Good to be here, have you here once again. And again, you're the pastor of Night Watch Ministries, right?
Yes.
And of course, you're an evangelist as well, and you're an artist, you're a photographer, you're a mom, a grandmom, and you have lots and lots of hats that you have to wear basically every day.
every day. Sometimes I think I don't have enough hours in the day, but God always supplies.
Well, we appreciate you coming today.
Thank you.
And, you know, amongst other things, Evangelist Herdecine, I appreciate just the fact that you have some unique ministry that you're involved in, and you help hurting people that have been through different traumas or difficulties in life. And, you know, the fact is so many people are hurting from so many things in our world today. And so when you hear a testimony of someone who's been through a lot, there are many other people that can identify with that, because hurt is a part of life.
Yes.
But we serve a God that has told us, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So praise God for that, though. Would you tell our listeners a little bit more about some of the specifics of the ministry that you're involved in?
Well, as you said, our hand and feet are going out to in all direction.
Right.
And it seems as if I added an S to feet. It seems as if you need to add an S to it and add an S to the hands also, because it's so broad. It's so many hurting people. Mm-hmm. So we try to minister to the one that's in prison, the one that is coming off of drugs, the ones that have had an abortion and still suffering. Mm-hmm. And matter of fact, we are going through a fast right now, getting ready to go pray for this young lady that is on hospice. Mm-hmm. And we are praying for her caretaker, because so often the caretakers are forgotten about.
Right.
So
right.
We go out in all different directions, because there are so many things. He was just talking about the floods.
Mm-hmm.
It's a flood here. It's a flood there. There's a hurting person here. It's just so many in all four directions.
Mm-hmm.
And any place you look, there's someone in need. And so often we think it's a need of money, maybe of housing, maybe of a car. But so often it's not that. It's just a brokenness.
Mm-hmm.
This person just seems as if they have no place to turn to someone in prayer. Someone they can talk to, someone they just can pour out to, because they think what they have done is so bad, they can't tell anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So we are just a hand feed of, I'm adding the S to it, of so many different things, whatever God calls us to do.
Right. And, you know, I think of too, I read the parable of the Good Samaritan, which is a powerful parable with many important truths that God teaches the body of Christ through. You know, in that story, of course, a very familiar peril to probably many, if not most of our listeners. In the story, man's going from Jerusalem to Jericho. He falls among thieves. He's beaten up and left for dead. Along comes the priest. And if you can picture the man laying on the road there, looking up and seeing the priest coming, think, oh, praise God, I'm okay now. Here comes the preacher.
That's right.
But for whatever reason, he keeps right on going. And the fact is, again, he's a representative of the church. He is the church, in essence. But for whatever reason, he didn't stop. And we live in a world where lots of people who say they know Jesus, we don't stop. We don't take time for people that are hurting, people that have been beat up. Sometimes, well, we're busy people. We've got lots of things on our list, and we just don't take time. But then along came the Levite. And if you can picture the man on the road, once again, he might have been thinking, oh, well, the preacher didn't stop, but maybe the church officer, he'll help me out.
Exactly.
He comes and looks, and it specifically says he looked at him, and then he passed by on the other side. So in other words, he was nosy. He wanted to see what happened, but he didn't do anything either.
Exactly.
And so he may have felt hopeless at that point. But then along comes someone who doesn't have a title, doesn't have frills. In fact, he's just someone on his way taking care of business. But the Bible points out that the compassion of Jesus kicks in, and he stops to help. And through that parable, we as the church have got to learn that God is calling us to be that third person. God has lots of people that have titles and have positions and consider themselves executive people that have busy schedules. He needs more people that will be the Samaritan who has a heart for people.
That's correct.
And as the Church of Jesus Christ, we have to take time.
Well, years ago, I do my third watch prayer, my fourth watch prayer at least, at 3 mm-hmm. o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And years ago, I guess probably back in 07, probably 05.
Mm-hmm.
And when I would get up, I would always ask God, I would say, Jesus, let me feel with your heart. Mm-hmm. And that would be the very first part of my prayer. Let me feel with your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a heart that loves mm-hmm. and a heart of compassion, so often people think is love is giving someone roses on Valentine and the chocolate candy. Mm-hmm. Well, my students used to ask me years ago, what did I get on Valentine's? What did I get on my birthday? Oh, Ms. Goree, what did your husband give you for on Valentine? What did he give you for your birthday? And I would tell them, if I have to wait one time a year for mm-hmm. a special gift, I don't need it. He gives me my Valentine each day. Mm. So, mm-hmm. and I look at that. We have to be the feet, I'm adding the S again, of Jesus every day because we never know who's going to call. We never know who's in need.
That's right. That's right. Would you take, we're about to go into a break, but would you take 30 seconds just to pray for our listeners to really open their minds and their hearts to understand that we're called to be a people of compassion?
And in your word, Lord Jesus, you said you sent forth your word to heal us and deliver us from destruction. And right now, I'm sending forth your word to each person that's listening. Father, I'm asking you to let each one that's listening and feel with your heart, feel what you feel for your people. This is my prayer for each individual because we have to have that heart like you to know there's so many out there hurting and we are your feet here on earth and your hands. And Father, just touch their heart in your special way. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We have in studio with us Evangelist Herdasim Goree. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. As always, we appreciate you listening in. And we'll pick up on the other side. But as you listen in, I want you to really listen with your ears and your heart, because God wants each of us to become more involved in ministry in our own circle. We'll be right back.
G just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day. Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk. The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud to say that I am not an African-American, I am an American!
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
One of my granddaughter's classmates was killed in a car accident. She was only 3 years old, and it was difficult for everyone involved to grasp her being gone. It seemed so senseless on our end, but for those who are believers, we understood that the Lord makes no mistakes. How we were able to get 2- and 3-year-olds to understand what actually happened was difficult at best, but we shared the love that God has for us and prayed for God to do the rest. And I couldn't help but think about how difficult it is for adults to grasp death. So how in the world were we going to get children to accept what God allowed? In your life, understand that God makes no mistakes. He is all-wise, all-knowing, and omnipresent. He not only knows what's taking place, but is able to adjust the now to make the future what it needs to be. Trust God today and sleep peacefully, knowing that He's got it all under control. Accept what God allows. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com. When you can love someone even after they've humiliated you or sought to harm you, then you know you've got something. John 15:12 tells us to love each other as Christ has loved us. In and of yourself, it can't be done. Inevitably, there will be someone who will push just the right button and that other side of you will come out. But when Jesus sets us free from ourselves and all that entangles our desires, He can fill our hearts with His love. That love will allow us to face criticism, misunderstanding, and even rejection. One of the things that we should be seeking out and that should occupy our agenda is to love one another better. So as you look to your goals, don't just concentrate on the outside goals. Include spiritual goals too, and include those areas where God needs to do some work. Loving your brother or sister in the face of humiliation is a great goal and an even greater measuring stick that you're growing. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Jesus said, "Here I stand. Won't you please let me in?" And you said, "I will tomorrow." Jesus said, "I am He who supplies all your needs." And you said, "I know. But tomorrow, ooh, tomorrow, I'll give my life. Tomorrow, I thought about today, but it's so much easier to say. Tomorrow, who promised you? Tomorrow, better choose the Lord. Your need, and you say,
You're listening to music from the Winans, the song simply entitled Tomorrow. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'm in studio with Evangelist Herdesine Gorey. Grateful to have her with us once again. And Evangelist Herdesine, as we continue to talk about this topic of reaching out to a hurting world, you know, one of the truths that we as believers need to grasp is that every believer is called to full-time ministry, whether we understand that or not. And all of us have a lot of work to do. We just have to have ears to hear. Tell our listeners a little bit more about the prison outreach that you're involved in.
Well, some years ago, doing service, a lady, I was doing a message on the injustice in the judicial system. Mm-hmm. And so she told me, I want you to read a letter. Mm-hmm. And I read the letter, and this lady was just begging for someone to please help her. She was in prison for 30 years for being on drugs. And they had ruled her habitual, and that meant she would have to stay in there 30 years. And she was just pleading. And when I read it, I said, let me keep this letter for a moment, and I mean for a day. And I took it, and I read it again, and I got her address, and I just wrote her. I wrote her and told her, I don't know you and you don't know me, but this is what God is saying to you. And so I never thought anything about it. About 2 weeks later, I got a letter back, and she started telling me how no one have ever written her. She had never gotten the letter, and how she felt there was no one there. They had one chaplain, and when you would go to them, then you never could go because they didn't have time, and she didn't have anyone there to even speak the word of God to her and for me to write that letter. So I just kept writing her each week, and the Lord would show me the things that she was doing. She stopped, changed her lifestyle, changed there. She put aside the drugs she was selling there, and her life just turned around because of a simple letter. And then she started requesting journals to write in. We started sending in journals. We started sending in Bibles. We started sending in books, anything that would help her to get through the day. And we started fasting and praying that God would turn around that verdict about habitual.
Right.
And sure enough, he did. And out of that, 2 years later, they ruled it unconstitutional because they put it on her file 6 months after, and she didn't know about it. And she got out 2 years ago.
Praise
God. So through the process, we knew even though you get out, we pray for you there. But when you get out, there has to be someone here to help you make it here on the outside, because she had nothing. She didn't have clothes. She didn't have anything. So we started, we got housing for her. We furnished a house for her. We made sure she had food. We even supported her with the rent for so many months. And because she needed more help out here than she did in there.
Right.
And often they feel as if they're forgotten.
And, you know, I think of this, Evangelist Herdesine, too, to think of that there's a great need for churches to get much more involved in the ministry, in jail ministry, prison ministry, because just as you spoke of, you know, the, well, call it the big word, they say, recidivism, you know, when people get out, but then they come back so quickly sometimes, and many times they, when they get out, they go back to the same people and same communities and same group of people they were running with who helped get them in trouble in the first place. And so without a group to love them and embrace them and help them get back on their feet, too often they do turn right back around and go right back in. And so there's a need for the us as the church to rise up and be the church that love people, embrace people, help people to come to know the Lord, help them to grow up in their faith, help them to get on their feet financially, get a job, and get going in the right direction.
You said that, and they turn right back around and go back, but so often they have no place to even lay their heads. Someone might give them an address in order to get out, but then you have no food, you have no shelter, you have no place to go. There are so many that gets out that has no family members. They have no mother, they have no brothers, they have no sisters and brothers, and then some of them that has mothers and brothers and sisters and brothers are in the same predicament they're in. So they have no place to go. So if you have no place to go, what are you going to do? So someone has to be there to say, look, yes, you made this mistake, Mm-hmm. Yes, you committed this crime, but God looked beyond my faults, and he saw my needs. Mm-hmm. And even though, you know, in my crazy days, I could have easily been caught up in something, but God said no, where he didn't say no to you, but he put someone here to help you through.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, of course, the greatest need of every human being, of course, is to come to know Christ as Lord and Savior.
Exactly.
And obviously, as the church, there's a great need for us to be bringing the gospel into prison and jail settings. We should be aggressive about doing that. But along with that, again, going back to the parable of the Good Samaritan, it's a wonderful example of how that the Samaritan showed the heart of Jesus. He saw the man hurting. He stopped. He bandaged his wounds, put him on his own animal, took him to an inn, and paid his money and said, if I owe any more in the future, I'll come back and pay more. So some would say, oh, he went way out of his way. He didn't have to do all that. But he was demonstrating what the heart of God looks like.
Exactly.
God doesn't want to help just a little bit to say, I helped. God wants to help people to become whole again. And so that means helping to meet the spiritual, the physical, the emotional, whatever need the person may have, helping to try to meet all the needs they face.
And you mentioned a Good Samaritan and mentioned about the priest went by first and just kept going. Well, this is so typical how we just keep going when you see someone hurting, just like he was talking about the 8 days of hope.
That's right.
Someone has to go to help them rebuild homes to say, yes, we are here to help you. But everyone can't go because, see, I can't go because I can't swim. And I definitely am not going to work out in the heat. But God have put me someplace else to go because there are so many different directions that there's a need. So everyone can't go. That's right. Go on.
There's something each of us can do. And it's important to know, too, that all of us are called to ministry, every believer. You know, and too often we think, well, people would say, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a missionary, so I'll leave that work to them. If you're a Christian, you're called to full-time ministry.
Yes. It's no excuses. If you say you are a Christian, you can't pass by that one that's laying flat on its back.
That's right.
Because someone needs some help. And there's all sorts of, even for instance, yesterday, this man just got out of the hospital and his lawnmower had broken down and his grass had grown up and his children weren't doing it. So he called my husband. And I volunteered, as a matter of fact, I did. But anyway, he called my husband and he asked to speak to him. And I told him he weren't there, but and he told me what he needed. And I said, yes, he'll do it. So I just volunteered him. So anyway, when he got in, I told him, I said, this man have called, his lawn need mowing, and I told him you would do it. And he said, okay. He changed clothes, well, got his towel on, got on the lawnmower, went and mowed the man's lawn that hadn't been mowed since June. That's a ministry.
That's right.
He said, my husband said he's a Christian. He showed you're here. He's here for whoever needs his help.
And thank the Lord that you all are a Christian couple, because some husbands would have said, you did what?
Exactly.
And what is that? You don't speak for me.
Exactly.
But that's good that you knew your husband's heart,
yes,
and he'd be willing to do it.
Yes.
And that's great that he just said yes and went on doing it. Didn't fuss, didn't get upset.
Didn't get upset.
And that's the heart of Jesus. That's what the heart of Jesus does. Servanthood is a huge part of what all of us are called to do, every one of us. And for those that say, well, I don't do this and I don't do that, I don't do that, I don't do that. Well, again, it's not that everybody does everything, but there's something we can do. And it's easy to make excuses.
Yes.
But it's important for us to have a yes, Lord attitude. Lord, here I am. Send me. I'll go.
And you just said, so often you think, a lot of people think you have to get out there with a hammer and a nail or whatever. It might be a card.
That's right.
It might be a phone call.
And like you spoke about, just write a letter encourage someone.
Yes.
Point them in the right direction.
Yes.
Would you pray for every listener to grow in the understanding of the need for all of us to get involved in God's work?
Lord, you tell each one of us that when When we are in need, you said when someone is hungry, we need to feed that person. When someone is naked, to clothe that person. When someone is in prison, to visit that person. Father, you're the one that says this. And if we say we are your servants, Lord, we need to listen to your word and do as you say. Lord, I'm asking you to open the eyes of each person understanding so they will see what you have for each one of them to do.
Yes.
We don't know what it is, but you know exactly which gift you have given each individual. And Father, just let them use it for your kingdom. So often we think that we need to be paid for something. But Father, the pay in heaven is so mighty. And Father, just open the eyes of each one of them understanding so they will know the great calling and inheritance for their lives.
Yes.
And I just thank you, Lord, for what you are going to do with each one of them right now, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Father, too, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity you give to each and every one of us as your children to get involved with ministry. Lord, thank you for the opportunity you give us every single day to be a vessel of your love, a vessel of your compassion, a vessel of your mercy, a vessel of your grace.
Jesus.
Lord, fill us afresh with the spirit
yes,
of
Lord.
Compassion. Help us to know, Lord, that every day you have work to be done and that you're looking for children who will listen to you and say, yes, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, help us to be amongst those that will quickly say, yes, Lord, use
Jesus.
Me.
Yes.
Help us to pray like Isaiah, here I am, Lord, I'm available, send me. Help us to pray that prayer every single day, knowing, Lord, that you have so much work to be done. And all you simply need is a willing vessel that will say, yes, Lord.
Yes.
And Father, help us to recognize that so many times we can pray for others. We can speak a word of encouragement. Many people need to hear the gospel. They need to hear that Jesus saves and he can transform any difficult or troubled or problem-filled life. And you can save them and make them brand new. And Lord, help us to know that also you've called us to be givers. And that we can give of our time, our encouragement, and sometimes we can give of our physical things. Lord, help us to not live in such a way that we're so attached to our money, our things, our possessions, that we won't give to be a blessing to others. Help us to be mindful, Lord, that you're a God who you've been so generous to us, and you, the same God that gave it to us the first time, you can give us another one. Help us to be willing to say, sure, Lord, if you want me to give it away, yes, I'll give it away. Lord, help us to be generous-minded, because as we do that, we'll be like you who are so generous-minded. You flood our lives with grace and blessing every day. Help us to be a people that live and function that way every single day, living to be givers, living to be a blessing. You've blessed us, Lord, and you've blessed us to be a blessing as well. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Again, our in-studio guest today is Evangelist Herdesine Gorey, and she's the director of the ministry, Night Watch Ministries. Night Watch Ministries, that's right. And I hope that as you listen today that you have the desire that you'll start. If you haven't already, you'll start today to say, Lord, show me what you want me to do. Show me how you can use me. Because, you know, God has work all over the place. But, again, he needs more children that'll say yes.
And sometimes you don't want to say yes. sometimes the things he calls you to do, you say, no, you can't be speaking to me. No, I'm not equipped for that. I was just thinking about when John was over there speaking earlier, and I was thinking, Lord, I need that voice. But he didn't give it to me, so I will use what he have given to me.
That's right.
And so often we think it's the tiniest, you know, it has to be big in order to do something.
That's right.
But it can be very, very tiny. The tiniest thing, just like you said, right in the letter. People really don't realize how important it is to let someone know they are not forgotten. And when they go into prison, they feel as if they are forgotten.
Right.
When they come out, they feel as if they are the scum of the earth and no one would ever treat them as if they're even decent. But there's no such thing, because we're supposed to look at them as the way Jesus looked at them.
That's right. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
coming next week on The Dwelling Place.
Pastor Al Pittman continues to walk us through the Bible, line by line and verse by verse, to let God show us just how timeless His truth is.
That's next week on The Dwelling Place.
The Dwelling Place with Al Pittman, weekdays at 2:30 and 10:30 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
What's going on? It's your man, Sean Tanner, and you are in the field with the track stars, Ryan Righteous, Sean Tanner, and DJ Jeremiah. Keep it locked to Urban Family Talk, and be sure to tune in to the track stars each and every Saturday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. Log on to www.trackstarsradio.com or download our app available on iTunes and the Android market to get our podcast. Keep it locked to Urban Family Talk and Track Stars Radio. Let's go.
Dr. Tony Evans says if God seems distant from you, it could be because you've distanced yourself from His family. He explains as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
If one of my kids rejected the other three kids, they would be distancing themselves from me because I'm the father of all four. So if the one says, I don't want to have anything to do with this one, and this one, what they just said is, and Dad, I don't want to have anything to do with you, the father. Because I'm responsible for all four. See, we've got Christians who want the father but don't want the family. And God says, well, no, if you don't want to have anything to do with my family, I know y'all squabble, I know you got different personalities, I know you don't get along, but if you don't want to have anything to do with the family, I can't abide with you either. Because it's not my daddy who is in heaven, it's our father who art in heaven. You are not an only child. And the reason why God wants you to be a dynamically contributing part in a local church is because He wants you to be part of a family. And when you disconnect from the family, He says you have disconnected from my abiding relationship with you. It doesn't mean you're not saved if you've accepted Christ. If you've accepted Christ, you're saved. It means God's involvement with you on earth. His involvement, abiding, His hanging out with you. The word abide, minnow, means to hang out. Him hanging out with, He's not hanging out with you if you don't want to hang out at all with His family. And it's amazing. People who refuse to encourage want to be encouraged when their time comes.
Dr. Evans digs deeper into what life in God's kingdom should look like in his series, The One Another's, available online at tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
music of Rance Allen, the song Preacher Man. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. We have in studio with us today Evangelist Herdiseen Gori, as we've been talking about getting involved with ministry. All believers are called to full-time ministry, and really there's so much work to be done. Our job is just to be available vessels God can use. So in this last segment, Evangelist Herdiseen, would you share about just you also minister to persons that have been down the tragic road of abortion or people that have been through other forms of trauma? What words of encouragement would you give to others to get involved with hurting people as well?
Well, I often tell people when I mention surrendering a secret about the one that the post-abortive woman, and usually people's eyes are just so closed and they would say, well, I don't know anyone that have had an abortion. I say, are you in church? And they would say yes. And I said, you're probably sitting next to the woman mm-hmm. right now that have had an abortion.
Right.
And so often is as if people just want, this is the awfulest thing. I don't want to mention this. Mm-hmm. But what they don't realize, that person that they are sitting next to, insides are just screaming. Mm-hmm. They are screaming for help. Mm-hmm. Someone help me, because they are in that prison, that spiritual prison. Mm-hmm. So often we look at that natural prison, but it's so many that's just so bound spiritually from the mistakes that they have made, and they think they can't be forgiven. They think that they have done the worst thing in the world, and then they constantly hear, you have killed a baby, you have killed a baby. They think of themselves as a murderer. Mm-hmm. So they walk around halfway living. Mm-hmm. And then you end up, you look at that person, they end up on some type of pill for depression.
Mm-hmm. They're or alcohol
or drugs, or have gone into promiscuous sex, mm-hmm. or have gone into deep, deep depression. Matter of fact, I've dealt with a woman that wouldn't even eat. Mm-hmm. She wouldn't even eat. And so before we could even start having the class, mm-hmm. I had to fast. I had to pray. I had to pray before I got there in the morning, and I would have to pray for her before mm-hmm. we could even start the class, because she was just wasting away. Mm-hmm. And one particular class, I just stopped. Mm-hmm. I just stopped. And I said, the first thing you're going to do, I carried in a container of hot tea, mm-hmm. some crackers. Mm-hmm. And I said, you will eat this. It was just one pack of crackers. Mm-hmm. I said, you will eat two of them now. Mm-hmm. You will eat this before we get started. Mm-hmm. She ate one, and she drank a cup of tea. Her stomach had just had drawn up mm-hmm. that she could only eat one. And she said, I promise I'm going to eat the other one before the day is over. Mm-hmm. And because this is what they go through. And mm-hmm. so we look at it, getting back to what you asked me. Mm-hmm. We look at it and we think, this is the easy way out. Mm-hmm. Nothing is happening to this woman. She shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. No, it's a lot of things we shouldn't have. A lot of things we shouldn't have done, but we did. But God has forgiven us, and he has put someone in place to minister to us. For instance, if I'm sick, the minister is there that will preach, you can be healed and made well. If I have lost a loved one, the preacher's in the pulpit preaching, you can overcome this. Mm-hmm. If I've had a tragic, someone, my child have strayed, son, the preacher's there preaching, you know, you will make it through. You will talk about the prodigal son. You will talk about the woman at the well that was healed. Mm-hmm. But the one that have had the abortion, the preacher is not preaching. Mm-hmm. You can be delivered. Mm-hmm. God will forgive you. You can be set free. They are not preaching that. Mm-hmm. So someone has to go out and say, look, I'm here for you. Mm-hmm. I'm caressing you in prayer. I'm here for you. I'm standing with you. Because this is how many people we need. Matter of fact, I know some people right now that have gone through abortion, have almost died, and mm-hmm. no one is in their area to mm-hmm. even do the class.
That's so sad.
And that's how bad they need the class. There's no one there, and these people are suffering.
And there's such a need for us in the church to recognize that we need to remind people that we serve a God that he's so merciful, he's so forgiving. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We serve a merciful Heavenly Father that is quick to forgive. And again, there are consequences, but again, it's important to know he will forgive and he'll heal a broken heart for who's gone down the tragic road of abortion. And again, there's other traumas, too, that people need to know. God is a God of mercy, a God of grace, a God of forgiveness. And too often people, they get condemnation from them, from their own mind and heart, and it's really the devil really mm-hmm. speaking to them. But they'll get condemnation from other people, sometimes folks in the church, and sometimes preachers will sadly be condemning, which is wrong. You know, our job is not to condemn. Mm-hmm. Our job is to preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit knows how to bring conviction.
That's right.
But God says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so we need to offer the forgiveness of Jesus to those that are hurting. But again, the need is for all of us to be involved because there's so many hurting people out there. And so if you're listening today and you're thinking to yourself, you know, I really want to be used of the Lord more, but I just don't know what I can do. I don't know how God can use me. Well, a starting point is just a wise thing to do is say, Lord, I confess I've sinned by not having been involved in ministry already, because God wants all of us to be involved. There's lots of work to be done. We should confess, ask God to forgive us, and then say, Lord, here I am. You should pray the same prayer Isaiah prayed. Here I am, Lord. I'm available. Send me to do your will. And that's a good prayer to pray every single day. And as you do that, you pray and you listen, because the Holy Spirit speaks to all of God's children, every one of us. And if you say God never talks to you, I can tell you, you're lying. You're not telling the truth, because God talks to sinners as well as believers. But sometimes we say, oh, one mind told me to do something and I just ignored it. Well, many times that's the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
Leadings, nudges. But often from time to time, God will speak to some believers with an audible voice. But most of the time, it seems he doesn't speak audibly. He speaks through a still small voice in your heart. He leads and nudges and guides us to listen. And many times it's going to be he's leading you to help somebody. He's leading you to give to somebody. He's leading you to bless somebody. Understand this. It is not the devil telling you to help people. That's God. That's the Spirit of God. And so God wants us to be available vessels.
And another stronghold that people are going through also, the women that's getting out of prison, mm-hmm. they have a stronghold of the children they've left behind. And so often that child may go astray and they start blaming themselves for, he's going astray or she's going astray because of me. So that's another stronghold that people are not ministering to, the ones that have gotten out of prison, that children, someone else have that child, that a children might be a teenager now, might be in their 20s now and committing crimes. Mm-hmm. And then they start blaming themselves. Mm-hmm. It's my fault. Mm-hmm. It's my fault. So they have to be ministered to also.
Right, right. And it's good for us to know, too, that we serve a God that if we just come before God in humility and say, Lord, I've sinned, I've done wrong, I confess it, Lord, ask God to forgive you, he'll let you start afresh and then just move forward in obedience. And I would say to every listener, make it your goal every day to do at least three things. You pray daily, spend time praying. For example, pray the Lord's Prayer every day. Talk to God. Give God thanks and praise every day. Secondly, read the Word every day. I like to encourage a goal of reading at least three chapters in your Bible every day. That's a good spiritual meal that'll start to help you grow up. And then obey. Do what the Word of God and the Spirit of God tell you, and God will start using you. So the key is God's ready to use you today, but you have to have a desire to want to be used as well.
And, you know, so often, a lot of time, many people don't even know they can be used.
That's right.
Because they look at someone else doing it. And they say, well, they can do it better than I can, mm-hmm. or that one can do that one better than I can. But God have appointed each one of us with something special mm-hmm. to be used.
That's right.
And I don't know what it might be, but mm-hmm. the simplest thing that you think is so insignificant, mm-hmm. God can take it and multiply.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, you may on any day of the week be able to find someone who can do something you can do better. But it's not your job to do what they can do. Your job is to do what you can do in service to the Lord. And don't worry about what they do, because you may do a whole lot more by just doing the simple thing you can do than what that other person is not doing, you know. So God just wants available hearts and available lives to
exactly.
be used, to use them.
And one example, this lady that I told you that's on hospice was wanting some watermelon. Mm-hmm. And the lady went to get her some, and all of them was gone. Mm-hmm. And so she told me, she said, oh, I was going to get her a watermelon, but all of them were gone. Well, I didn't say anything. I knew I was going to cut a watermelon the next morning. Mm-hmm. So when I cut it into pieces, I sent her a bowl of watermelon. Just something simple. That little red watermelon blessed her life.
And the word says, as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me.
Exactly.
So you had the privilege of giving Jesus watermelon. Praise
exactly.
the Lord. And I imagine he thoroughly
enjoyed it.
Yeah. As we close, would you pray for our listeners, for us all, for every listener to grow in their understanding of the need for us to live, to want to be used of God every single day?
Lord, right now, you have chosen each one of us. The woman at the well didn't know it was anything special about her, but she went and told the people, come and see what this man have told me. Mary Magdalene didn't know there was something special about her, but you sent her to tell that you had risen. Father, each one of us have a special plan. Zacchaeus didn't know it was something special about him, but God used him. Each one of us have something special. So, Lord, right now, just open their hearts, open their understanding so they can see that you can use the tiniest little seed. And when that seed is planted, it become a harvest. And, Father, right now, let each one of them know that you have called each one of us. If we said that we are your servants, then there's a harvest. There's a field out there for each one of us that you are sending us to. And just bless us, strengthen them, and send them out, Lord, to do your will. In your holy name I give you praise, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And Father, thank you. I thank you for each person listening today. Thank you for your hand of grace upon each and every individual. And Lord, thank you for the fact that you have work, important work for every single listener to do. Lord, help us to never think so little of ourselves to think that we're not vessels that can be used. Help us to recognize, Lord, that all you need is a willing heart and that you're ready to use them to do wonderful and mighty things. Lord, help us to live with an available heart, an available body, an available attitude every single day. Help us to be mindful to pray daily, to pray simply, Lord, here I am, I'm available, send me to do your will today. And help us to know, Lord, as we pray that way, you will use us every day we pray it. If we simply pray it, trusting that you're going to hear us, Lord, help us to be available every day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us today, Evangelist Hurtasine. As always, it's a privilege to have you with
us. Thank you. Thank you for asking me again.
And keep letting the Lord use you.
Thank you.
And to every listener that is listening today, I want you to know, again, God has work to do. He wants to bless you, but he wants to bless through you every single day as well. And understand this, God doesn't just want to use you every once in a while. God has many important works to do through us every day if we're just available. So let's be available every day. Thanks again, Evangelist Hurtasine. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. As always, we appreciate you listening in. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.